Okay, so just to bring us back up to what we were up to. So yesterday we were trying to figure out, is there a mitzvah of Geirus? And if so, what mitzvah is there? And we went through some of the conflicting sources, some of the mixed messages that we see in Chazal, both general and specific, about the role of Geirim and our attitude towards accepting them. And what we seem to emerge with is a nuanced message that when we see that a ger is passionate and committed and motivated for all the right reasons, so then we are very eager and embracing of such a process. And when it doesn't seem like it's motivated for the right reasons or it's sincere, then we're not going to be so eager, and we're certainly not going to proselytize, certainly not going to try to encourage anyone to convert if they're not necessarily self-motivated and coming from that type of commitment. And Moshe, you have a question?
You guys had a question as Rebbe was reviewing. I was, doesn't this, based on yesterday, doesn't this negate all gators that are through for marriage purposes?
So marriage is a very important question, which is why I want to deal with it separately. So again, just as far as like the order, so we're talking about the generalities first, then we're going to talk about the process of investigating what the motive is, and then what is the concern with ulterior motives. But a little bit of a spoiler alert, so just in terms of the language, you said, doesn't this negate? So in terms of what Geirus is kosher and isn't kosher, we'll see that's a slightly more complicated question. That it's going to be very possible, we'll have to look at this, that even a Geirus that's not motivated by the proper motivations may still be acceptable after the fact. But we're first addressing what's good and what's bad, and what's desirable and what's not desirable. So we're first talking at a level of lechatchila. So apparently, lechatchila, we have an obligation to assess the situation and try to figure out what's best for this individual and what's best for Klal Yisrael. And that's one step of the process. And then we'll see how it impacts if that process is not fulfilled or if it's not successful. So I just wanted to be more precise when you're saying, does it negate the Geirus? That's for another reason. That's its own can of worms. And we'll, God willing, get to that. But especially the question of marriage is a particularly involved and complicated question. So we'll deal with that more heads on either today or tomorrow as we progress with this topic. Tyler.
Maybe off topic, but when a woman converts versus a male converting, is there a difference between what they have to go through? And besides for Mila, of course, is there a difference?
Other than that, no, we'll get to the process, but that is the main difference. Yeah, that's for the most part, that's the main difference. Well, but we'll get to the process, God willing, soon. And well, the meal, of course, is a big difference, and it also opens up the question of what we can derive from that about the role of Mila in the conversion process. So, all of that, God willing, we'll get to. Okay, so that path, as far as what's desirable and what's not desirable, seems to hinge very much on motivation and commitment. But assuming that we indeed have a good candidate, so it sounds like there is a mitzvah. There were a number of sources that at least tangentially gave us that impression. Most often cited is just that phrase of Shihuya mitzvah Sloma Shahinan, that we don't want to delay mitzvos, and once it's been established that this individual is ready, we should go full speed ahead. And also the fact that there is a bracha, that at least the details of which are somewhat disputed, but the Gemara, at least on the surface, telling us that we make a bracha with the language of Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosu V'tzivanu Lamo L'Segerim, giving us the impression that there is an actual mitzvah involved. So the question is, what is the mitzvah? So we saw that the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh, so like the name of the Sefer indicates, so he's the author of the Nefesh, so he likes the Pasuk HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charan, and he says that's a mitzvah. But that, we noted, is a little tricky, because, first of all, it's not a tzivui in the Torah, it's a description of Avram's activities. And using it as a source for our contemporary involvement with Gayrus is tricky for a couple reasons. First of all, we're not sure what Avram was converting them to. It doesn't seem like it was Judaism. It seems like it was ethical monotheism or something along those lines. And also, Avram's activity was about outreach, was involving proselytizing, because to that degree, we do believe we have an obligation to the world, that we do want every person on the planet to observe at least the basic principles of morality of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so that there is understandably a role for outreach, for proselytization. But when it comes to Judaism per se in the Tarryag Mitzvot, so we don't have any tradition of trying to convince people to take that on if they're not looking to do so on their own. And therefore, if we talk about a mitzvah of Gayrus, we mean something else. Right? What we mean is a mitzvah to accept the Ger who is sincere and is self-motivated and to carry out the details of the process, which is different than what Avram was doing. So we have to figure out how to relate to that statement of the Ravid. The Tashbetz was quoted by a number of poskim, so the Tashbetz seems to have made his point on this issue, where he says that he's pretty sure there is a mitzvah. It does seem to be from the sources that there is such an obligation, but he doesn't know why it's not counted in the Tarryag Mitzvos. He doesn't know which mitzvah it should be. He doesn't know when you open up the Chumash, what pasuk can we point to in order to identify the mitzvah, but it seems like there is one. So we're trying to figure out now what is that mitzvah. So where exactly is the source, and what to do with the fact that it's not counted in the Tarryag Mitzvos. So he's first mentioned, this is a discussion that you can find in Rav Yochum Fishel Perlo's commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sajagon, where he also takes on this question. And one suggestion that we started with yesterday was the idea that it's the mitzvah of Avos Ager. The Torah tells us we are not allowed to oppress a convert and we have to love the convert. So how do we fulfill that unless we help them come into the fold in the first place, as the Rush expresses it in his Tshuvas? I'm sorry, the Tosfos HaRash, in that Gemara in Shabbos about the Bracha, makes that comment. And that's in sync with what the Riyah Bar Tzalon, who's quoted by Rav Saja, says, that it's a mitzvah of Avos Ager. And we found that very interesting, as later commentaries do as well, because one might have thought, and one might still think, that the mitzvah of Avos Ager is a mitzvah towards somebody who actually is a convert. But somebody who has not yet gone through the process to say that the mitzvah of Ahava is already triggered is a chiddush and is probably a significant one. It's probably an important message and tells us something about the attitude here, that this is a positive embrace that already begins even before the individual actually has taken on the status of a ger. So that's one possible perspective. What else might be a candidate? What else might be the source for this obligation? So here, Rav Perlow also gives another suggestion, that maybe it's a mitzvah of Avos Hashem, that we express love for God through our passion and our commitment. And maybe that's what's reflected in the mitzvah of Gayrus. Now, here, it's interesting, because that works for both. Right? That works for the Ger, and probably works for the Beis Din also, because we're trying to figure out, if there's a mitzvah, who does the mitzvah apply to? So this theory could apply to both of them, that the Ger expresses his Avos Hashem by taking on Tarryag Mitzvos. And in that sense, we mean that it is essentially a sliding scale, that we don't say the whole world is obligated to take on the Tarryag Mitzvos. We say that for the world in general, it's enough to observe the Sheva Mitzvos. So presumably somebody who does feel the inner passion, who does feel this motivation for a more intense connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then the mitzvah of Avas Hashem requires him to actualize it, requires him to actually step up to the plate and to subscribe to the Taryag mitzvos. But it also works for the Beis Din, because then the Beis Din, to help this process, is also in fulfillment of Avas Hashem. And as some point out, say for Mishnas Moshe, he points out this, if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, so the Rambam in his Mitzvos Aseh, I think it's Mitzvos Aseh Dalet, when he talks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, so he quotes from Chazal in the Medrash, where we see, and there's a Gemara as well, there's a Gemara in the 8th Perek of Yuma like this, that the mitzvah of Avas Hashem doesn't just mean that you should love God, but it means Shehei Shem Shamayim Misahi Val Yadecha, that you should also bring about the love of God through others. So here, if you have an individual who is looking to more intensely express their Avas Hashem, and you have it in your ability to help give that full expression, so that's also a kiyum in Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is not only about your Avas Hashem, it's about facilitating the Avas Hashem of others and about igniting and bringing about the Avas Hashem of others also. So even though we don't extend that proselytization of non-Jews, but we do find that sometimes invoked as one of the sources, among many others, for Kiruv Rechokim, that we want to engage in helping to inspire other Jews to love God, because that's a part of what Avas Hashem means. Gemara also invokes it in the context of what we would otherwise call a Kiddush Hashem, basically to make people impressed with the behavior of religious Jews, because they'll say, wow, the God who inspired this behavior must be a pretty impressive God. And therefore, when somebody looks at the way you act and they say, Ashrei Rabbu Shelimdo Torah, so fortunate is the Rebbe who teaches this person Torah, the parent who raises this child to observe the Torah, and the God who commanded the Torah. So all of that is a fulfillment of Avas Hashem. So what he points out in the Sefer Mishnas Moshe, if you look in the Rambam over there, so he quotes as a reflection of this idea, Sanefesh Asher Asu Bechara. So that actually could justify the position of the Ravid and could explain the position of the Ravid, that when the Ravid refers to that pasuk of a Sanefesh Asher Asu Bechara, and so yes, it's not a tzivoy in that context, and also, yes, it has all those differences that we mentioned a few minutes ago. But what it shows us is that Avraham Avinu, who introduced Avas Hashem to the world, so what did he do with that Avas Hashem? So he helped other people also find their place within Avas Hashem. So his activities as HaNefesh HaShe'asu B'charan is an indication that that's what Avas Hashem means. That Avas Hashem means not only how you behave, but also what you bring about and facilitate in others. And therefore, it could mean that when we talk about the role of the Beis Din and of the Jewish people in being Mekabel Geirim, and of course, we're talking about Beis Din, so we mean only in a more general sense. The Beis Din is the actual process of performing the conversion, but in order for one to reach that stage, so there's a requirement, there's a need for a supportive community overall, and there are many other people who can contribute to this mitzvah of Avas Hashem besides the three Dayanim on the Beis Din. But the overall network of Kabbalah Sager, in this sense, they're all contributing to this idea of Avas Hashem expressed on a broad level. Tyler.
So this is implying, I guess the Rambam's implying, that Avram was Nechliyav in Avas Hashem. So this is a raya that he was commanded in some mitzvot, seemingly.
Yes and no. I don't know if it's a raya that he was commanded in it. It's a raya that he engaged in it. So we know that he discovered God and that he spread the word. So if we have a mitzvah of Avos Hashem, which involves that, so we can look to Avram as a model for how to perform that. So I'm not sure if it's so compelling as an obligation for Avram, although it could have been compelling for its own reason, that it's, if we assume there's a certain amount of svara attached with it, you know, that recognizing that that's the clear, proper response to such recognition. So for that reason, you could see that as a mitzvah, but I don't know if you necessarily have to say it proves he was directly commanded. Elliot?
Yeah, for the first reason we mentioned, that it should be included in Avos Ager, wouldn't that then be a mitzvah being Adam Chaviro, and we typically don't have brachos associated with those mitzvahs?
It's an interesting question, where the rules are for brachos and not so. That also brings up the question of how to relate to the different parts here. That if we're saying that we're talking about a mitzvah on two levels, the mitzvah of the whole process and the mitzvah of the details of the process. So how exactly to look at the details of Mila, let's say, for example, as part of the process, whether to see that as a ben odom l'chavero or not, because it's an extension of a broader principle of Avos Ager, it's an interesting question. When we have these klalim, we're kind of working backwards because we don't really know which mitzvahs have brachos and which don't. And there are a number of theories as to what the guiding principle is. So the Rambam in Mishneh Torah has a statement along those lines of mitzvos b'adam l'chavero. The Rashba in his Chuvis has a formulation that is based on which mitzvos involve the participation of somebody else or other such a quality. We don't have any Gemara that tells us this is the rule and here's when we're going to apply it and when we're not going to apply it. So it's a couple of steps removed from causing us a problem necessarily, because we form our theory based on the examples rather than the other way around. So for that to be an issue for us, we have to figure out exactly how to categorize that particular action of the Mila specifically, the way the bracha comes up, and then what the klal should be. But it's an interesting point. So that theory of Avos Hashem, and doesn't have to exclude the possibility of Avos Ager as the mitzvah, is interesting, and that could apply, especially that part about Avos Hashem, could apply both to the Beis Din and to the Ger. So looking now to the Ger specifically, so is there a mitzvah upon him, and what mitzvah is it? So one source that indicates that it's a mitzvah on him, this is also more general rather than telling us any specific halachic point, but some will point to the fact that the Gemara says in Yevamos that the Jew, that the Gerim sometimes have a hard time, as the Gemara in Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis in Yevamos, that sometimes Gerim find themselves afflicted. What did they do to deserve it? That they delayed in going tachas kanfei hashchina, that they delayed in accepting upon themselves all mitzvos. And that seems to suggest that they had to. That seems to suggest that there's something wrong in not only not converting, but in not rushing to convert. So it's a difficult concept, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Hagos to the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Emden raises the question, why should they be held responsible for that? Where is there an obligation for any non-Jewish human being to take on Tariq mitzvos? If we say that we don't require everyone in the world to be Jewish, so then if you decide not to convert, so why should you be held responsible? So that's more in a hashgafic sense, to try to figure out what they do to deserve their problem, so to speak. But more halachically, we mentioned yesterday, we started this point, is the Gemara in the first parak of Psachim, and next year's Limud, Psachim Dav Zayin, where the Gemara says that most mitzvos you make the bracha before, but tevila b'mikvah is the exception. You can't make the bracha before because gavra lo chazi, the individual is not fit to make the bracha. And Tosus makes it clear, Rashi is differently there, but Tosus makes it clear that we're talking about a ger, who before he goes into the mikveh, he's not Jewish, and therefore he's not going to make the bracha then. So once he comes out, so then he's Jewish, so then it makes sense for him to make the bracha at that point. So many bring up the question that, okay, before, after, when is he ready? That's a side point. the whole impression that the ger is obligated here and makes a mitzvah, makes a bracha. So what's he making a bracha on? What's his mitzvah? What's his obligation? What makes him a bar chiyuva to make the bracha in the first place? So that seems to be a pretty pressing question. And there are a number of theories which are fascinating. So one approach that you could find in some Achronim, very interesting. For example, Rav Yosef Engel, like we mentioned yesterday, his Sefer Beis HaOtzer, his Encyclopedia of Lumdus, where he talks about the whole status of the Avos question. So here's a different piece in the Beis HaOtzer. He has a theory there of Nassim Gestetner, who was a great posek in Bnei Brak, who passed away about 10 years ago or more, in his Tshuvas Lahoros Nassim. In Chelek Aleph, he makes essentially the same point. And what they say is pretty fascinating, that we have a tradition that all the Gerim stood, their neshamos were present at Har Sinai. Right? Har Sinai, which we said yesterday, is the source for the process of Geiris. So we also have a tradition that not only the ancestors of Jews who were born that way were at Sinai, but also the Gerim were also represented at Har Sinai. So how does that work, practically speaking? What does that mean? So what it seems to tell us is that when somebody is a sincere ger, somebody really has the commitment internally to take that step, it means that there is something that was always true about them. There's something that was inherent in their neshama, that they have that devotion. It just needed to be put in the right context. And when somebody finds himself at that point, somebody finds himself ready to convert with the right degree of commitment and drive and education to do so, so then a glory milsalam afreya. So then this is a birur that retroactively we see that this is the individual whose neshama was at Har Sinai. It's kind of a metaphysical idea being translated here into a practical halacha. That therefore this individual now is obligated to take that next step. Once they've clarified, together with the help of the Beis Din and everyone else who played a part in the process and their own initiative, they've been able to clarify that this is where they're holding. So it means that this was always inherent in their soul, and it's a hard concept a little bit to relate to practically, but that's what it seems to be that they're saying. And therefore, yes, essentially they have a mitzvah to take it to the next step. And that's a very interesting concept. There is an idea which you can find in many Sfarim, and Rav Gestetner expresses it here also, that you note that when the Gemara talks about an individual who converts, so the phrase is ger hamizkayer, right? A convert who converts. There's a recent sefer from one of their Bayim in Karim Yavna, and Geris has that title, ger hamizkayer. So you might think it should say something like goy hamizkayer, right? A non-Jew who converts to Judaism. It sounds like they're called the ger before they actually convert. So it suggests, as others do as well, that that's the idea, that yes, it was always there at Betaba, that this individual was already a ger before they went through the process, and it was just something that needed to happen in order to bring that to expression. They had to actually go through the process of gerus, but they were a ger before then, which also is compatible with the idea of the mitzvah of avos ger, applying beforehand. And I think there is a lot of practical importance behind that also, that there's a certain status that is to somebody who has all the inclinations, somebody who has this passion even before they have had it formalized, so they're not chayv in mitzvahs and they're not subject to the other details of being a Jew, but the concept of being a ger is applicable even to a person who hasn't gone through this process. So this is a second ramification, to say that there's a mitzvah of ahava towards such a person, and to say also that that individual has an obligation to go through with the next steps, has a mitzvah on them, that hashkafically the Gemara is saying they shouldn't delay, and that the Gemara in Pesachim here is saying halachically that they're a baruch yuva to go through with the process. Rav Kook has a tshuva in the Das Kohen, where he basically says that once somebody realizes that this is where they're headed, so then it constitutes an obligation to take it to the next step and the step afterwards. And that becomes perceived as a religious imperative. There was an article in the journal Tchumen, which has a lot of articles about Geiris. You know, Tchumen is published by Tzomet and addresses a lot about contemporary Israeli society and contemporary halachic reality. So Geiris is a very big part of that. So we'll mention probably pretty frequently articles from Tchumen about Geiris. So one of the points that this article made is an article by somebody named Gal Eldad. And he made the point that as far as counting it in mitzvos, so seeing it as one of Tarig mitzvos, the question that the Tashbetz raised, so you could see why it doesn't really fit anywhere, because no Jew is obligated in this mitzvah of becoming a convert, because that's going to be applicable to people who are not yet Jewish. And then at that time, it's not a part of Tarig Mitzvahs. Tarig Mitzvahs is what's addressed to the Jewish people. So kind of technicality-wise, it falls through the cracks as far as being seen as a mitzvah. But it still, nonetheless, constitutes an obligation and an imperative once all these other factors are involved. With Gedalia Felder, who was a great posek in Toronto, he has a sfarim about a lot of things. He has a sefer on Geiris. He talks about sefer Nachlas Tzvi, where he talks about Hilchos Geiris and other things. And in that sefer, he maintains that it's not going to be counted as a mitzvah in terms of Kabbalah's Geirim, because, like we see, it's all complex and contingent, that we have to go through this whole process of figuring out who is appropriate and who isn't. So maybe for that reason, it is not listed as a mitzvah. One way or another, it seems to be that the poskim who address this, and Rav Yosef Engel makes this point from a very technical angle, you can read it if you're interested to see how he comes at it, is that it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis on the Beis Din, that it's clearly of great spiritual value, but it's something that is so tied into details and to circumstances that it's not a mitzvah like tefillin and lulav. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis in the normal sense, but it's clearly something that is very much inspirational and laudatory and very effective towards spiritual accomplishment. So it's something that has great value to it, and certainly we would call at least like a mitzvah kiyumis, a mitzvah that's a fulfillment, but not a mitzvah in the traditional obligatory sense. And it's also an aspect of chesed. And it's interesting, you would think it's more intuitively a chesed on the Beis Din to help an individual realize their full spiritual potential and their full integration into the halachic community. But it may also be an act of chesed on the part of the ger himself. And there's a comment along these lines, quoted from Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer Harei Kedem, in Chelik Beis, the Harei Kedem, so I have quotations there from the Rav. So he makes reference to the Medrash that's often quoted in other contexts, that is a good subject for drashos on Shavuos, that the Medrash in the Rus Rabbah has a statement in the name of Rav Zera that says that, why is Rus around? Why do we have Megillas Rus? So this doesn't have halacha in it, doesn't have Tumah Vatara, doesn't have rules. So what does it exist for? It exists to teach us the schar that comes to Gomle Chesed, to those who are involved in Chesed. And that's a striking comment in a couple of levels. So as many point out, first of all, there are a ton of halachos that actually are derived from Rus. There is a lot that comes out of Psukim and Rus, and in particular, Hilchos Geiris. We find, and we'll talk about that soon, we find a number of halachic points that emerge from Rus, not only about Gerus, from other things too. So you have to figure out what this Medrash means by saying that the whole point is to teach us Chesed. So there are a couple of angles to that, but Rav Soloveitchik took a specific approach where he says that it's about the Hilchos Gerus that's called the Chesed here, that for somebody to make sure that the contributions that they have to make to the world are given full expression, so somebody who has got more to say about how to bring Avas Hashem into the world and how to bring their spiritual talents to the Jewish community. So that's an act of chesed on the part of the Ger himself, and seem all the more so on behalf of the Bezdin that's helping him. So all of that is included in the broad obligation of Chesed, which is what defines the Jewish people. And that goes back to Avram, right? So Avram Avinu discovers God, and he spreads the word about God to the world, and that's a Nefesh Asher Asu Becharan. But one of the primary ways in which he expresses godliness, we have a mitzvah of Halachta B'drachav, and there's a lot to say about this. It's going to get outside of our subject, so I'll just only mention it for a minute. But the idea of Halachta B'drachav, that we should imitate God, so Chazal in a few places seem to understand that as a mitzvah to engage in chesed. And there are a few indications that Avram especially embodied that, of recognizing that I will spread God's existence to the world through imitating him, meaning I will act with chesed, I'll take care of people. So all of this interconnects. So his engagement with people as a individual of chesed is an expression of Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem also is what is reflected through his activities in bringing people closer. And being Mekabel Gerim and also becoming a Ger, all of that is an expression of Avas Hashem, and to help bring that about and to take steps in that direction is all chesed. So all of this interconnects. Essentially, it's all a iteration and a reiteration of the same theme. And could also add that even we say is that if we do feel there is a clear mitzvah for the ger, so then the Beis Din, being the ones who are capable of bringing that about, would have a clear mitzvah involved. If you have a mitzvah that somebody else needs to do and they can't perform it without your help, so then clearly there is a mitzvah involved in helping them. And that's something that the Ran comments in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. And the Gemara over there talks about getting married, and the Gemara has the phrase mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, it's better to do a mitzvah yourself rather than somebody else. And the Gemara expresses that for the Kala also, that mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, better for her to do the mitzvah of marriage directly than through a shliach. So the Ran asks that according to the assumption that we have that the mitzvah of Kiddushin is only applicable as an obligation to the man, so what does the Gemara mean when it says mitzvah ba, that her mitzvah should be performed directly and not through a shliach? So the Ran says that if you're performing the crucial role in allowing a mitzvah to happen, so then that's something which is also itself a mitzvah. It's not necessarily an obligation on you in a mitzvah chiyuvah kind of sense, but certainly it's called a mitzvah, that activity to be able to play the crucial role in allowing somebody else to express a mitzvah is certainly a mitzvah itself. Okay, so far so good? Does that make sense? Okay, so yes, Shlomo.
So will we apply the same logic to the mitzvah of Peruvu? Is that the woman also has some sort of mitzvah, even though we usually say that the mitzvah is on the man in terms of like birth control and other issues that come out of that?
Yeah, it's very much off topic, but does certainly connect. That yeah, the idea is that, especially that Ron's talking about Kiddushin, it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether Kiddushin is its own mitzvah, like the Rambam says, or it's a Hechsher mitzvah for Peruvu, like the Rush says. But it could all be connected, that either way, so the woman is playing the crucial role, and why she's not mitzuva is itself a whole discussion for a little different time, but clearly she's playing a pretty vital role as far as the process happening. So whether it's the marriage or the childbearing, that's what the Gemara means, says the Ram, when it says that mitzvah ba yes mishluch, that it's her mitzvah. Now, since you're bringing it up, by the way, so I could just mention the parallel, that the rush in that context is understood as seeing marriage as kind of a hechsher for puruvu, and still seeing it as a mitzvah. And there's some who suggest there's a parallel here between the rush there and the rush we mentioned a few minutes ago, the Tosfos HaRush in Shabbos, when he says that being mekabel the ger and giving the milah to the ger is part of the mitzvah of Avas Ager. So what he means, again, is a hechsher, that it's going to, what's necessary in order to get you to that step. You're not going to have any gerim unless we're willing to go through the process of conversion. So therefore, the mitzvah of Avas Ager requires that process, just like the mitzvah of Puruvu requires marriage, or generally involves marriage. Okay, so with that, let's segue into the details of investigating and being mekabel the ger. And I have to give you new makoros for that, so God willing, I'll give you new makoros for tomorrow. We'll just set up the topic for a few minutes and then we'll pick up more detail tomorrow. But just especially to focus on how one topic flows into the other. So we've established now a certain level of mitzvah, perhaps obligation, to convert, if you're relevant to that, or to be mekabel the ger, and to, again, two senses, both to facilitate the actual process and to be welcoming on a communal level and to express that acceptance. So nonetheless, what about the fact that we do also find that we don't do it so easily, that we still give the candidate a hard time, and we still try to figure out exactly what is the nature and the motivations of this individual. So, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, so we did see at the outset that whether it's a good thing or a bad thing seems to hinge very much on the motivation and the character of the individual who's coming before you. So if that's the case, so then figuring out who we're dealing with becomes a understandable part of the process, trying to understand exactly whether this is the kind of context that is ideal and appropriate or not. And it's interesting, Rabbi Yonah Reis Shlita, who's certainly very involved in the process of Geiris, and we may perhaps involve him over the course of our time together to give us maybe a guest share at some point and to share some of his practical involvement and experience. But he also has a beautiful sefer, which is available from Yeshiva Press, called Kanfei Yonah. So in that sefer, he has an essay about Kabbalas Geirim, which we'll refer to probably tomorrow in a little bit more detail. But there he also points to a Rashi in Maseches Kedushin. I put it on the original Makoros list, Rashi and Daf Ayin Amid Beis, where Rashi explains the language of the Gemara to be saying that when it comes to the Jewish people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them closer whether or not they want to come closer. But as far as the Ger is concerned, so he has to bring himself closer. So maybe that's a part of this whole idea of creating a little bit of resistance, of creating a little bit of interference before just opening the door wide and saying, come in. So maybe that's because it's part of the process that the ger has to be mekarev himself. That's what this Rashi suggests is the difference between the ger and the existing Jewish community. I think we could also say, just building on that, that really, that's part of the definition of Geiris, as we've been seeing, that a part of it is this self-starting, this self-motivation, and that when an individual is motivated on his own, so then that's part of what goes to the definition of Geiris, of being a Ger Tzedek. So therefore, a part of our process to know whether we have this mitzvah or not is going to be through understanding that about the individual that we're dealing with, through considering this question how do we know that this is indeed the status and the makeup of who we're dealing with? So we'll have to get into more details about this tomorrow. We'll talk about this whole process of investigation and what exactly the investigation is meant to turn up and how we go about it and what happens if we're not happy with the results of the investigation. That's part of what was addressed before. And what if the investigation wasn't done? And then how do you look at that? And what happens if we know that there are ulterior motives? And what happens in certain specific situations? Are there times when we don't necessarily have this hesitation, when we're more eager to accept without putting up any kind of a roadblock, any kind of a interference? So all of that we'll pick up with tomorrow. I'll give you some more makoros to look at for that purpose. But just to say a word about it now, so one more interpretation of safachas, of that very negative-sounding characterization of Rav Chelbo, that the Gerim are somehow compared to safachas. So we find, like we said yesterday, there's a whole range of interpretations of what that means. On the surface, it sounds very negative, but there are many different ways to see it. So some are very negative in that there's some kind of a unpleasant impact that Gera may bring to the community if he's not so well motivated. To the other extreme, like Rav Ram HaGer was quoted as saying, that because the Ger tends to be so much more committed to mitzvot, so therefore he makes everyone else look bad. Our Tosfos also quotes another possibility in the middle, which is evocative of the line in the Gemara in Kedushin about Kibud Av V'Em, that Gemara quotes somebody who was an orphan who said that, I'm glad I didn't have to do Kibud Av V'Em because it's so demanding, I would never have been able to live up to it. So too, Tosfos suggests that the obligation of avoiding onas hager, not afflicting the ger, and properly loving the ger is so demanding that it's very hard to live up to. So the challenge on the shoulders of all of the Jewish people becomes more intense because of the presence of ger. But there's another suggestion by Reis quotes his sefer. He quotes this from Rav Melech Shechter, Zichrono Livracha, the father of Herschel Shechter, who was very involved in issues of Gittin and Geiris and the like. And he suggests that the specific symbolism of a safachas, which is a part of Parshas Tezriya Mitzora about the whole Parsha of Negayim, so there, it's not simply a negative, it's that it requires careful attention and analysis on the part of the Kohen. So that's also what's going on here, is that it's not necessarily something bad, and maybe it's something wonderful. Safach is probably never wonderful, but here in this situation, so it could be something wonderful and glorious. But it's going to require attention. It's going to require investigating into the scenario. So that all flows from this idea. So this investigation seems to be an important part of the process. You've probably heard, it's a commonly cited idea, that the prospective ger is discouraged three times. So the question is, where does that come from? Is that just something they say? Or is there a source for that? So on the surface, the Gemara doesn't actually say three times. There is a source in the Medrash in Rus, another Medrash in Rus, the second one to mention today. So there is a Medrash in Rus which derives it from there, but doesn't seem to be in our Talmud Bavli, but maybe it is if you look close enough. So where can you find it? So that, if you look at the Makoros tomorrow, that'll be your mission to try to see if you can figure out from the Gemara where maybe you see an idea of three times. And we'll get into more detail about that tomorrow. So just to quickly recap the main points that we talked about today, we get into a little bit more detail about the mitzvah of Geiris. We tried to understand both the idea of Avas HaGer, that might be the source, and the idea of Avas Hashem, and we reflected on the relationship between Avas Hashem and Asa Nefesh Asher Asu B'charen, and how that plays a role here. and how that could help explain a mitzvah both on the Beis Din and on the Ger himself, and the sources that indicate that there is a mitzvah on the Ger himself, both hashkafically in terms of this inui that they go through and halachically in terms of the status of the bracha. And the idea, the fascinating idea that some have, that it reflects the fact that the neshama was at Har Sinai, so once we clarify that that was the case, so therefore that creates a chiyuv and the different formulations of that idea, and the explanation of the phrase ger hamisgayer, that one is already a ger even before the process of geris, and what that implies for us. And we also talked about the idea of chesed and how that's invoked in this context, and also how it is intertwined with the various notions of Avos Hashem that we might be addressing here. Tyler, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Kiddushin Samech Beis Menalf, Samech Beis Menalf.
Yeah.
It says that you need three Jews to witness the conversion, and then...
Rashi says three Jews, yeah.
So what does that do for our conversation? It means that it's not on the mitzvah's not on the ger. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, we deal with two different levels. That there is apparently, we can consider the question of the ger, and we can consider the question of the Beis Din, and it may be two separate things. So it may be there is a mitzvah on the ger, and maybe there's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. Maybe coming from two separate places. Avos Hashem happens to work well for both of them, so that could create a chiyuv on both of them. But that Gemara specifically seems to be talking about the Beis Din. And we mentioned that Gemara specifically. It doesn't mean there isn't a mitzvah on the ger. It means that Gemara is talking about it. We mentioned yesterday that there's some ambiguity about that Gemara, because the Gemara says, who knows if we'll find three who will do it. So some, such as the Chassam Sofer, took it to mean, okay, there's no mitzvah, because if no one is going to come forward, apparently they're not obligated to. And others said, no, maybe it just requires Chachamim. And in between, more relevant now to what we're talking about here, is that there has to be this process of investigation. So maybe they're not going to be satisfied with the investigation. So who knows? It's not in his hands to say, okay, I can snap my fingers and get three Jews to do this. The three Jews have to decide that this is an appropriate path. So therefore, that's what the Gemara was talking about, that it's not something he can rely on, that it's in his control to guarantee that he'll be able to convert. Okay, so then we just ended off talking about those interpretations, and then that brought us now to this question of this process of pushing off the ger, of creating a little bit of resistance, so that we will start off tomorrow with a question, a little bit of guided instruction for looking at the Makoros. So see if in the Gemara you see a basis for the idea of three times specifically, which is explicitly in Rus Rabbah, but not necessarily in the Gemara, unless you are able to find it there. All right, so take a look over there, and I'll send you some other sources too. And God willing, I will say, Moshe, you have a question before we sign off?
Yeah, so, can Rabbi explain one more time about how Pashas understand the mitzvah of Mashahinam, if it's that meaning, Pashas is referring to the Milo, right?
Right.
There is a way that we could say that maybe it's referring to all mitzvahs in the Geirus itself.
Somebody mentioned that yesterday. All mitzvahs of Geirus, all mitzvahs beyond the Geirus.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I thought we used that as a potential source as to say that there is a mitzvah, an impending mitzvah on a Geir, like there's to convert. How we use that besides that?
Right. So that source more sounds like the mitzvah on the Beis Din. It sounds like. That the Beis Din shouldn't wait. The Beis Din has a mitzvah to be mekabel him, and therefore, once it's been clear that he's been clarified that he's the right candidate, so then the Beis Din should take action right away. But you could theoretically say it's about him and say it's his mitzvah, and since he needs the Beis Din shouldn't delay. And then once you want to say that, you could say it's true about all of his future mitzvahs, that he's going to start doing mitzvahs in general. And therefore, why delay? So, and you're responsible. You're going to keep him from doing all the mitzvahs if you don't get to the process promptly. And therefore, it's a more roundabout way of interpreting it, but it's theoretically possible. Shlomo?
I think it was mentioned before, but for the Rambam was just talking about the essence of the obligation, whether it's on the mohel or the convert, right?
with the Ramban about the Ramban Shabbos, about the mitzvah.
Yeah, the Ramban on Shabbat, yeah.
Yeah, about the bracha on Mila. Whose bracha is it? Right.
Is more okay.
Yes, and that we'll get to in more detail when we talk to the Pras and we talk about the specifics of Mila. That question will be important. Whose mitzvah is it? Is it basically the Ger's mitzvah and he needs a Beis Din to watch it happen, or is it really Klal Yisrael's mitzvah to, and the Beis Din on behalf of Klal Yisrael to bring it in? Okay, very good. I wish you all a wonderful day, and God willing, we'll pick up with this tomorrow.
Thank you,
Evan. Thank you. Someone another question?
Yeah, just a side question. For the Bechina at the end of the term, is it going to be more Halach Lamaisa, or it's going to be more of the Pilpul topics that we're doing also?
So that's a great question. I assume it's more Halach Lamaisa. I'm not even sure if I provide the Bechina, or I'll ask the office for the Bechina. So we'll figure out the details of how exactly the Bechina, but for sure the main focus is going to be on Halach Lamaisa. You know, okay. It could be that, in general, I think the concept and the lumdus and the hashkafa support the halach lamaisa, so it's certainly worth knowing. But certainly, the focus of the bechin is going to be on practicalities.
Like, are we going to have to quoting, saying the Gemara in Kiddushin says this?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm already programmed, so I don't know how the Ashkenazi tests go.
Understood. So I actually have to find out from the office exactly how that works. I'll try to get you that information as soon as we can.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Galtos.